Well, this is our last time for a while, and we don't want to go home. And by the way, you might pray for us as we do go home. We're driving our old van with almost 170,000 miles on it. It's purring right along, but we'd appreciate prayer. We can get there safely. Sounds like we might be running into snow down around Denver and Cheyenne, Wyoming, and down in there. So appreciate we can have clear roads, clean roads, and just get on down. We'll be I'll be in Spokane Wednesday night, speaking at a little church there at a pastor and his wife that met at our house in Dallas, and then they got married, and now they have a little one, and he's the pastor, and so we'll be speaking at their church. And we want to thank you for taking such good care of us over these last 4 days, 5 days. And I'd have to say, there are some churches we go to, and we can't wait to get out of there. But that isn't the way it is here. You all just make us feel right at home, just like family. And that's what we feel like. We want to thank you for that. It's been a blessing to us. Mother's Day. Did any mother here have something happen today that was just a real blessing? It was totally unexpected, and you'd like to share that with us? Yes. She brought 7 chicks. That's the perfect number. How about that? Well, that is a treat. Think about that. And are they going to have eggs for you one of these days? Yeah. We have a friend that sells chickens. I can't believe it. They sell for like $25 and $35 each. I'm thinking, I mean, I can go to Costco and eat one for like $5.95 or something, but how do they do that? I don't know. All right, tonight we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40. And it's my favorite chapter in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 are my two favorite chapters in the New Testament. But we're going to be in Isaiah 40. And it is called the Bible in miniature. Isaiah chapter. I mean, Isaiah is called the Bible in miniature. And the first 39 chapters are really the law and the consequences. You disobey me, and there's a consequence. And he's going through that. And the Jewish people are moving into the judgment of God here. And then you hit Isaiah 40, and that's the transition chapter from that Old Testament thought into New Testament thought. And how many chapters in the Old Testament? I mean, how many books? I got to wake up here. 39 chapters. And then you have chapter 40 through 66. 27 chapters. How many books in the New Testament? 27. Isaiah's called the Bible in miniature. And where does the New Testament start after the birth of Jesus? With John the Baptist. That's where Isaiah 40 starts, with John the Baptist. And then it goes through the best gospel message in the Old Testament, the last part of Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53. Okay. Then it gets to the new heavens and new earth, like the New Testament does. It gets there in Isaiah 65, starting about verse 17, going on to the end. And then the last verse is an allusion to the lake of fire. People that don't believe in Jesus, they haven't received their Messiah as their Savior, they haven't put their faith and trust in Him, are going to burn forever. And so that's the way it's laid out. Now, Isaiah had, he had some contemporaries, Hosea, Micah, they all were living about the same time, and also Amos, so they're all living right about the same time. And so let's go to Isaiah 40, and it starts out, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And by the way, he is our comfort, Jesus is our comfort. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, how does it start out? We're to comfort others with the comfort with which we are comforted. And so God comforts us, and then we can share that. Speak ye, verse 2, comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. See, the deliverer is coming. The Savior is coming. There's a lot of second coming type talk here in Isaiah 40. And that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. That'll happen actually right there at the end of the tribulation period. For she saith, she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I think it's double blessing if you compare that with Isaiah 61 about verse 7. God's going to bless his people. And they're finally going to turn to him as a nation. It says that in Romans chapter 11. And then he says this. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Who was that? John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Tell you what, turn over to Matthew chapter 3. Keep your finger there in Isaiah 40. Matthew chapter 3. Look what it says. Talking about John the Baptist. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Well, that's what we just read, Isaiah. Saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And it goes on. So go on back here now to Isaiah 40. So how does the New Testament get started here? John the Baptist. Okay, prepare ye the way of the Lord. What does it say right here in Isaiah? Verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. See, the Bible is all tied together. You can't just take a little bit and say, okay, I believe that, but I don't believe this. It's like the creation account. People say, well, you can't really believe that. Well, I mean, if you can't believe the creation account, what God says about it, how can you believe the gospel? So it's all tied together. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. This is second coming talk now when Jesus comes back. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places plain. In other words, the king is coming to town. Now, what did they used to do back in those days? If the monarch came to town, in the days of Isaiah, the people in the villages would go out and they would smooth out the road. They would get the boulders out. They would fill in the ruts. They wanted the king to drive into the town and not get bounced all over everywhere in his chariot so that he wouldn't be grumpy when he came into their town. He'd be in a good mood, okay? Now, when Jesus comes, he's going to rearrange the earth. Okay, now verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. By the way, what we're ultimately talking about here is don't lose your perspective. Now, the Jewish people had lost their perspective, okay? And they were worshiping the idols. They were doing the things of the world. They were following the culture of the world. God's judgment is coming down. And what he's going to say here through here is, don't lose your perspective. You've lost your perspective. Don't forget who I am. Who I am, the real God. All right, so let's see how he keeps going here. The voice, verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. You know, on campuses, I always tell the students, okay, and the faculty, death began with the fall of Adam. When Adam sinned, that's when death began. And they'll say, well, what if Adam ate a carrot? That carrot's now dead. So there was death before sin. God doesn't say carrots die. He says plants wither and fade away. He doesn't say they die. So there's different kinds of what we might call death in the Bible. There is death that we might say is death, like plants. They have a body, they have a flesh. Let's put it that way. They have a flesh. Then you have animals. What do they have? They have a flesh and they have a soul, a nephesh, the Hebrew word for soul. Same word for our soul in the Hebrew, okay? Animals have emotions. They have a will. They have a mind. They have what we call a soul, just like we do. But then we have flesh, a body, a soul, and a spirit. We're created above the animal kingdom with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And you know that your pets have a soul, right? I mean, do they have emotions? Does your dog have emotions? Can they be happy? Yeah. Can they be angry? Well, yeah. Do they have a mind? Do they know what they want? Do they know when they want it? Do you have a cat? We won't talk about cats. Do they have a will? Boy, they sure do. Okay, animals have a soul. But we have a soul, a body, and a spirit. Verse 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. And we're about like that, God says. The grass withereth, the flower, verse 8, fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. What are we supposed to invest our lives in? God, His word, and people. Those are the three eternal things. God, His word, and people. God is eternal. God's word is eternal. It says right here, the word of our God shall stand forever. Matter of fact, look over in verse 28. What's it say there? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the everlasting God, God is eternal, His word is eternal, and people are eternal. That's where we're supposed to invest our lives. Okay, let's go to verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into a high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Washington, behold your God. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Lift up your voice. How many voices do we hear being lifted up today saying, behold your God? He says, we don't do that. We don't go that way. You want things to go best for you? This is the way, not that way, okay? How many of us are lifting up our voice and saying, this is what God says? Behold, the Lord, verse 10, God will come. Now, this is second coming talk, with strong hand. And his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. When Jesus comes back as King of kings and Lord of lords and Prince of peace, he is coming back in strength. And he is coming back with a strong arm. Okay? But he's also coming back. Look at the next verse. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. When he comes back, he's coming back in strength, but he's also coming back in gentleness and love and caring, which is the way he is. And that's the way he's coming. Now, he's going to compare himself because they're worshiping idols. They're loving the culture. They're loving the things of the world. They're playing video games. Well, no, but it would be similar kinds of whatever they do that occupies their mind and their heart and steals their time and their talents and their treasures. That's an idol, okay? So now God's going to remind them just who he really is. Look what he says in verse 12. He's going to tell them, look, I'm superior to everything in the creation. Verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? God knows how much water is out there. Do you? Do you know how much water's flowing down the river out here? You got any idea? We don't know. God says, I know. I know how much water is in the ocean. I know how much water is in the air, in the clouds. I know it all. And meted out the heavens with a span, he knows where the picket fence is around the universe. He says he's got it all spelled out. He knows exactly where everything is out there. I think it's probably a water canopy around the universe. Psalm 148 seems to allude to that. God says, I know. And he's comprehended the dust of the earth. God knows how much dust there is. Do you know how much dust is sitting on top of your nose right now? I mean, we don't know how much dust is in this jacket. Probably a lot. We drove up from Texas with it in the back of the van. I might start sneezing. No, we don't know how much dust there is. God says, don't forget who I am here. You're losing your perspective. I know how much dust there is. And he's weighed the mountains in the scales. He knows how much the mountains weigh. We drove by Pike's Peak on the way up. We couldn't see it because it was snowing. Anybody know how much Pike's Peak weighs? Anybody know how much Mount Whitney weighs? God says, I know. I know. He says, you've lost your perspective. You've forgotten who I am, who your God is. Okay? And the hills in the balance. This has the idea of he keeps Earth balanced. Earth is a sphere. By the way, it's not flat. Somebody says to you, the earth is flat. Say, show me a picture of the edge and I'll believe you. Okay? Earth is talked about as a sphere. Well, if it's a sphere that's spinning, it has to be kept in balance. That's what he says right here. By the way, the principle there is called isostasy. That's the technical term for it. The earth is in a balance. It's isostasy. Okay? And so let's say a big city grows up. In Los Angeles, big city comes up. That's going to change the weight on planet Earth. Does that mean there's some big cities going up? If you go right straight through the Earth, you're going to find a big city over here somewhere in China or somewhere? Or maybe a cluster of cities to balance it? God says, I keep it balanced. It doesn't wobble. We're not wobbling, okay? If it got out of balance, it's going to wobble because it's going around pretty fast. Nope, God says, I take care of that. See, this is the God that we serve. This is our God. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? God is superior to every man. That's what he's saying here. He's superior to everything. Now he says, I'm superior to every man. Can you tell me anything? Come on. You instruct me. You counsel me. No, you can't do it. Okay, by the way, we try to do it all the time, don't we? God, it would have been better if it worked out this way. God, you know what? Your timing is off. It should have been this way, not that. We do it all the time. We try to counsel God. He said, you can't do that. With whom took he counsel? The answer is nobody. And who instructed him? You can't instruct him. And who taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? God said, don't forget who I am. You have forgotten. I'm going to remind you who I am. And by the way, you can't tell me anything, because I know everything. Does God know about 5G? Of course he does. Does he know how 5G is going to be used? Yeah. He probably has good things he could use it for. And there's some things that aren't so good that it's going to be used for. Okay. Does he know it could be harmful to our health? Yeah, he knows that. Okay. What's he going to do? I don't know, but I think he's coming back pretty soon. That's what I think. Verse 15, behold, now he just talked about himself, then he talks about man, he's superior to every man. Now he's going to tell us about his relationship to the nations. Behold, verse 15, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Have you heard that saying? It's like a drop in a bucket. Now what's he saying? Whole nations are like a drop. Let's say you got a bucket full of pig slop, okay? You're going to go dump it in the pig trough, dump the slop bucket, dump it in the pig trough, and then you look in the bucket. and there's a drop left down in the bottom of the bucket. What do you do? Oh, my, there's a drop left. You take your finger down in that bucket and you push that drop all the way down into the... No, you don't even think about it, okay? It doesn't enter your mind. God says whole nations are like a drop from a bucket. All right, what else does he say? They're counted as the small dust of the balance. Now, what's that? Okay, you ladies, some of you older ladies, you used to go down to the grocery store and you're going to buy 2 pounds of tomatoes. And they have this big dial with a pan hanging, this metal pan hanging on it. You're going to put your tomatoes in there, weigh your tomatoes. But before you do that, you take that pan and you pick it up and you go, and you blow the dust off. Right? No, you don't even think about the dust on the scale. That's what God is saying here. He is so superior even to whole nations that it's like dust on a scale. It's insignificant. Whole nations. Look what else he says here. Verse 16. Well, we didn't finish. And behold, he takes up the isles, the islands, as a very little thing. He can pick an island right up out of the sea. That's our God. Okay, he says, don't lose your perspective here. Don't forget who I am. And then he says, Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. Take a whole nation, Lebanon, and use it as a sacrifice. It's nothing. Well, more than that, all the nations, verse 17, before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing. How much is less than nothing? I mean, that's nothing, nothing. You can't get any less nothingness than nothing, nothing. And God says, hey, take all the nations on earth. Take the United States, all its nuclear weapons, all its whatever it has. Take China, take Iran, take North Korea, take Russia, take them all. And they are less than nothing. Our God is that powerful. And he says to his people, what are you doing? What are you doing? Paying attention to idols? Letting the culture of Satan's world system grab you? When you can be serving me, who is greater than anything, and I love you. All right, so verse 18, to whom then will ye liken God? He's just answered that. No one. Nothing. Absolutely. Or what likeness will you compare unto him? By the way, this is in artist terms. And the idea here is pick up a pencil or paint and paint a picture of God. You can't do it. That picture of Jesus hanging on the wall at home, that's not a photograph. That's somebody's idea. He probably doesn't look like that. Okay? And then he says in verse 19, the workmen melted. See, they were involved in these idols, and they had to make their own idols so they can bow down and worship them. Can you think how silly that is? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casts silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he has no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. They can't even make idols that don't rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman. I'm going to find the best workman to make my God that I'm going to bow down before, to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. They can't even make idols that don't fall over. Okay, remember Dagon. Dagon. They put the Ark of the Covenant in that place where Dagon was, and then the priests of Dagon come out the next morning. Where's Dagon? Boom. Flat on the floor. So they prop him back up. They come in the next day. Where's Dagon? Boom. Flat on the floor and broken in pieces. What's God saying? Look, don't worship the things of man. Don't make your idols. Put your idols aside. Worship me. Yeah, we really can. All right, so verse 21. Here he goes again. Have ye not known? Yeah, they have. Have you not heard?
Yeah, you've heard.
Hath it not been told you from the beginning?
Yes, some of you have been in church all your life. You've heard God's word all your life.
Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?
Yes, he gave us the understanding.
It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, or the vault of the earth, or the sphere of the earth.
That's what earth is. We're not on a flat earth. Now, did you hear what I mentioned before? If somebody says to you, oh, no, it's a flat earth, what do you say to them?
Show me a picture of the edge. I mean, if it's flat, there's got to be an edge somewhere. You show me a picture of the edge, and then I'll believe you.
Well, they can't do that because there is no edge, because it is a sphere, okay?
And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretches out the heavens. God stretches out the heavens.
I think that's helpful when we're thinking about the speed of light that supposedly takes billions of years to get here from the farthest stars.
I think God just stretched them out. I think everything was closer, and then he stretched it out. The light was already here, and he moved the star away. Instead of the star being made way out there somehow, and then we had to wait for the light to get here. I think he did it the other way around, personally. He says he stretched it out as a curtain, and he spreads them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Think what's happened to our judges in our country. I never would believe it. I mean, I've been on earth since July 1939. That's when I was conceived, okay? I would never believe what's going on with the judges. Unrighteous judges, totally. Even our Supreme Court. I'm thinking, what on earth is going on? They've gone the way of the world. They have surrendered to Satan's world system. We don't need to do that. Look, God's telling us who he is. We stay faithful to him.
Well, let's see. That was the judges. And then in verse 24,
yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. God's going to deal with it. That's what he's saying. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. Okay. Other than Jesus, who is the most powerful person that'll ever live on planet Earth?
The Antichrist, indwelt by Satan himself. Okay.
How does Jesus get rid of him?
Well, just like he says right here, he'll blow on him. What's it say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2?
When Jesus comes back, he's going to go to Satan and he's going to go,
that's the end of him.
He's going to just puff on him and he's gone. And people think he is so powerful. Our Lord is all powerful.
Well, he's going to blow on them and they'll wither, and the whirlwind will take them away as stubble.
What is stubble? It's lightweight waste. To whom, verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Back to artist terms. Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. He is holy. Our God is holy. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created? King James says these things. It's in italics. It's talking about the stars. Who has created these stars that bringeth out their hosts by number? God knows how many stars there are. Do you? Who in here can tell me how many stars there are? You mean in a room this size, nobody has a clue? No, that's right. God knows. He knows how many stars there are. The most recent number I've heard is about a trillion trillion. He calls them all by names. He knows each star by name. By the way, there's now a business started up. You can send them money and they'll name a star for you and record it. Sorry, the stars already have a name. God named them. But so if you want to throw your money away and
oh boy, there's a star named after me. God says, no. I already named the stars, all right? By the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one failed. Not one is missing. Oh, if not one star is missing, what is a supernova? I thought a supernova was a star that blew up and now it's gone. Nope. It's not gone. There's still something there has a name. And we need some Christian astronomers that'll go to the Bible first and see what it says and then go study the stars and the sun and the moon. You know, I was in dental practice down at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston when we landed on the moon, 1968 to 71. And by the way, they did land on the moon. People in churches come up to me. Well, that was just propaganda. We were trying to get ahead of the Russians. So we just published things that said we landed on the moon. We never really landed on the moon. No, we landed on the moon. I know the astronauts' families that landed on the moon. And they know their dad and husband landed on the moon. Our patients, the engineers. A matter of fact, when they built those big pads on the bottom of the lunar lander because they thought they were going to land in they didn't know how many feet of dust that accumulated for 4.5 billion years, okay? And one of my engineering friends that was in mission control right down there at Clear Lake City, NASA, he was a patient. We just saw him recently. He's still alive. He said, when they landed with a clank, in other words, they didn't hit all this dust. They landed with a clank. He said people in the control room stood up and applauded because they still thought we're going to sink, even though they had sent various probes and different things up there. I've been telling these guys, look, you need to write a book. Get all this written down that you saw because we know three of them. They're still alive, and they know all kinds of things. One of them was the guy that programmed the computer for the landing craft. We just saw him 2 weeks ago, okay? Still alive. They know things that they've never been able to write down. I wish they would. I'm getting way off. Let's get back here. Where are we? He names the stars. He knows how many there are. And then he gets back to this because they had lost their perspective. His people had lost their perspective. He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? In other words, God doesn't see what's happening to me. God's not concerned about what's happening to me. God doesn't care what's happening to me. My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. He's not concerned about me. You see? No, he doesn't know what's going on with me. God's saying, why are you saying that? I know everything about you. I know what's going on with you. Hast thou not known? Verse 28. Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? I mean, this is their God and this is our God. And he's telling us, look, don't lose your perspective. Could you lose your perspective today? Yeah, look what's going on. Just look what's going on. I mean, where do you go for justice? Where do you go for help? What's going to happen with all this COVID stuff and things that we're hearing about that? And vaccines and nanoparticles and all kinds of things. And then just the depletion of the soil and the spinach that just doesn't have the vitamins and minerals it used to have because the soils are all drained out and all kinds of things going on. They're messing around with the genes of humans, mixing them up with monkey genes and pig genes. And they're trying to grow things. And they've grown a brain, which is a mix of, it was either monkeys, I think it was monkeys or pigs, and they've grown it for 20 days from just putting genes together here. What is going on? You see? God is going to have to do something. I think. I don't think he's going to tolerate this much longer. I think he's coming soon. I really do. I think Jesus is going to come. He's going to blow that trumpet and call us up. Anyway, his people had lost their perspective. And he says, don't do that. Don't lose your perspective. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He's all powerful. He's all knowledge. He knows everything. And he knows everything about you. Okay, praise God that he does, and me. He gives power to the faint. To him that had no might, he increases strength. You know, first time I was here, I was in really bad atrial fibrillation. And I think I said something like, look, if I drop dead right up here, just drag me out by the foot and dig a hole out in the parking lot. Don't do any of this heroic stuff. I don't want any DNR, do not resuscitate. Okay, I want to go to be with the Lord. But he says he increases strength. So that was like 2 or 3 years ago. I don't know when it was. Here I am. I think I'm stronger than I was back then by God's grace and my family's care. I don't know if I decided I like all these smoothies or not, but we're getting there. He giveth power. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To him that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. God says, bring out your strongest young guy. He's nothing compared to me. And the young men shall utterly fall. Yet God says, there's no one that compares to me. And then look what he says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word renew is the Hebrew word for exchange. You will exchange your strength, God says, for my strength. Well, what do we hear about all the time? The exchanged life. I'm dead. It's Jesus who lives in me. I've exchanged my life for his life, Galatians 2:20. So he says, you'll renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know, eagles are up here soaring. And it looks like they're not doing anything. But the thermals are holding them up. Okay, so they don't have to, the main weight of the eagle is being, they don't have to do anything except hold their wings out and grab it. Just like God's power with us. He just gives us that power. But they are doing something. They have 1,500 feathers that have nerves and muscles going to each feather. And they can control each feather. So if I showed this last time, I think. If the wind hits the leading feather, and they have to lift the feather 3 degrees and maybe turn it 1 degree, that means the wind is off all the other feathers. Now they have to adjust all the other feathers. So they're just up there, and they're being held up by the thermal, but they're adjusting all the time. So there's some things they do, but there's some things that only the thermal can do. That's like Peter when he's in prison, okay? And the angel comes, and the chains fall off, and then he says, Peter, put your sandals on. And you're thinking, what? He can make the chains fall off, but he can't make the sandals go on? What is this? You know what? There's some things only God can do, but there's some things he expects us to do. One of those things is, he expects us to make the choice to believe in him. He will not make us do that. He gives us a choice. Believe on the name of the Son of God, and you will inherit eternal life. I want to give you that gift, but I'm not going to cram it down your throat. You've got the choice. Do you want to believe in Jesus? Do you want to receive Jesus? Or the other option is, you can live your own life and not receive Jesus, and you'll be separated from me for eternity in isolation. Hell is not a big party. I believe hell is total isolation. You don't have anybody to talk to but yourself, but you loved yourself so much when you were here, you wouldn't love Jesus. Jesus says, okay, I'll give you yourself for eternity. And it's just you in the fire. And by the way, there's consciousness there. And there's sensitivity there. You remember Lazarus? Hey, go tell my brothers. Don't come down here. Get things straightened out. Anyway, so there's some things only God can do. But there's some things he expects us to do. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what the all-powerful, all-knowing God of the Bible says to us. He knows how many stars there are. He can lift an island right up out of the sea. He knows how much dust is on planet Earth. He names the stars. That's our God. And he says, don't lose your perspective, okay? Trust me. I am trustworthy. Trust me. I want to use you for my glory. Is it easy? Well, in one sense it is if we're letting him do it. But do we get into situations that are really tough? Oh, yeah, we sure do. Does he take us through? Yes, he does. Okay. Does he do it in our timing? Nope, he does it in his timing, but he carries us through. Do you know him as Savior? I think I'm going to turn it back to the pastor. Where'd he go? There you are. By the way, your pastor has done a good job taking care of us. And I consider you very fortunate to have this man here as pastor. And so don't let him kill himself working more than he needs to for you all. Okay, every time I look around, he's doing something else. And I'm thinking, I bet there's someone in the church could do that. Okay, now he didn't tell me to say that. He probably doesn't even want me to say that. Okay, but don't let him kill himself, because we know pastors that the congregation just kills them. So you've got to support your pastor and his wife. Don't forget about her. Okay, and so we love you. I'm going to turn it back.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You know, it's a privilege to be a Christian. And God has given us all the things that we need pertaining to life and godliness so we can live the life that he's called us to through the indwelling of his Son. And that's a powerful thing. It's more powerful than anything the world can bring against us. And what a privilege. But we just have to make sure that we avail ourselves of all that God has done for us. And that doesn't mean trying harder. It means surrendering completely and obeying God. Just doing it his way. That's a wonderful thing. Thank you so much for being here, you guys. It's been such a pleasure. We just pray that you have a great rest of your journey. All the friends you get to visit and the places you get to speak and then get back home safely. Pray that the Econoline van makes it all the way back there. All right? And they travel in a van. And if you knew how they do things, it's Taryn, who is the secretary in the van, right? Who's doing that? Who's on the... You do the itinerary, and then you do all the stuff on the desk on your lap on the drive. They sleep in a back bench on the van on the way. They bring their materials, and they make them free of charge. They don't charge churches anything to come, not a dime. They truly trust the Lord, and it's a real example to all of us of what faith can do. So thank you for being here, and thank you for walking by faith. Let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer, blessing the food that's over and ready to be eaten next door. I think there's about 6 hot dogs per person, so get ready. If you need to loosen your belt a little bit before you start, do that. But let's pray, then we'll go have some fellowship together. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much. Because of your Son, Jesus Christ, dear Lord, we are truly brothers and sisters in Christ. God, we are a family like no other family. God, we are knit together by the very blood of your Son, and we are held together, dear God, by the word of your power, and we thank you for that. God, I pray you just give us a sweet time of fellowship. Pray you bless the food, dear God. Lord, let it just be rich and sweet as we gather together and spend time. And Lord, let us not neglect that, dear God. Let us not miss the privilege and the opportunity to invest in one another in your name. I thank you and praise you for your goodness and grace. I pray for the Martins as they continue to travel, God. Watch over them as only you can, dear Lord. Bring them into contact with every person that they need to speak to and share your love with. I pray that you would just minister to them as they minister to others. We thank you for them, and we thank you most for your son, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, let's let the Martins go first. Please head out there toward the gymnasium, and others follow suit. And kids, you're the...